make it all the way into the summertime, hopefully. I'm considering starting not a Sunday school class, per se, but from the 10 o'clock hour to the 11 o'clock hour, what I would call a conversation place. If you're interested, let me know. What you would do is you would bring something you want to discuss or talk about, write it on a piece of paper, small piece of paper. We'll put it in a cup. We might have some coffee. We'll sit down. I'll put all the little suggestions in a cup, in a coffee cup, pull one out, talk about it for about an hour. All right? If that interests you whatsoever, join. If it don't, nobody say anything to me, I'll let it ride. But it's been on my heart for about a month to do that. And last week when I told Melissa about it, if I say it, then it almost feels like I got to do it. So I told Melissa, I said, I'm really thinking about doing this. I don't know what it looks like. It's totally not a Sunday school class. I just like to talk Jesus and push ideas back and forth and go the Bible on the answer. So the week before last, me and Johnny and Scott stood out here and talked, and it was just like exactly what I thought about. We were just pushing ideas back and forth, talking about God, talking about the Bible. Today I walked across the street into the Sunday school class of the young people or the youth, and they just started asking me questions. So I stood there for like 45 minutes just answering questions. It might not have been that long. It seemed like that long. But, I mean, it's so what I love to do. And then I made the dumb mistake of saying when I walked out of there, I said, y'all probably got more preaching over here this morning than I'll happen over there. That's actually true. So that if you're interested, in that, like I said, I'll be in my office roughly around 10. There is a coffee maker in there. If you want snacks, you'll have to bring your own snacks. We do have all kinds of mints. I mean, you can get foundered on mints if you wish. As long as Jan and Ray keep bringing them, we'll be fine. All right. I love how Scott, when he started this, he was talking about the guy with the tattoos. Like, he's logged onto our website watching our Facebook page. Like, that's, like, all of a sudden he's like, I got to find that dude. I'm going to find out where he's at. I bet he's the song leader at Flat Top Church. He's got a vendetta against you. Well, how is he going to show those tattoos to you outside? That's all I wanted to know. No, that's okay, man. I'm good. I'm good. I believe they're real. Let's go to – I'm kidding. Yeah, all right, never mind. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Amen. That is in Acts. The reference number there is, or the chapter is, Acts chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9, or 5 through 9. Okay? If you want to go back and see what they're talking about right there, what happened was the Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected, right? Then the day of Pentecost came. And on the day of Pentecost, the church was filled with the Spirit of God. So you got three parts of the Godhead working. You had God in the Old Testament, Jesus at the beginning of the New Testament, and then the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Comforter, right? And the promise of a witness. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It gives us comfort, and it makes us a witness, right? It brings witness. When it makes you witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the goodness of Jesus Christ, share your testimony, share the gospel, and then the Comforter comes and gives you a peace that no matter what you go through, there is an expected end, and that end is when you take your last breath on the face of this earth, you will be in the presence of God for eternity, okay? So guess what? That's what he's talking about. When that in Acts chapter 2, 5 and 9, what happened is the church then became like Christ, okay? They started acting like Jesus, and all of a sudden, the religious elite of Israel was having no part of it, and they ran them out of Jerusalem, and they scattered throughout the world, right? Scattered throughout Asia and Asia Minor, okay? Can I go back and correct that? Because I just said something totally wrong. Nobody caught it, but I caught it. It had nothing to do with Jerusalem. It had nothing to do with the religious elite. It had everything to do with God. God was not happy with the New Testament church setting in Jerusalem with the Holy Spirit of God and the truth about Jesus Christ and the good news. So he used the religious elite to push them out of Jerusalem. You might want to make a note here. I'm really going to teach and preach here tonight. I want you to get a hold of this. Maybe the thing that you think is making you do something you don't want to do, maybe it is not the thing you think it is. Maybe it is God. Amen? Like I have a suspicion in my spirit that the COVID virus was not totally sent by the enemy and was all supposed to die. I believe it was God saying, I'm sick and tired of the church staying inside the four walls, and we have done nothing a lot but trying to get back to. Maybe God wanted to make us light, nimble, quick to move, quick to respond, and not so nailed down to a building. Man, let it sink in. I know. But I guarantee you, if you had asked any of the New Testament believers who were just filled with the Holy Spirit, they would have said, us being ran out into Asia and Asia Minor, they would have said, man, this is bad. We had to leave our homes. We had to leave our families. Some of us were killed and destroyed. Some of us were put up and judged by the church and stoned to death. This is bad. And God was saying, I had to get you out to get more people saved. I had to get you out of the life that you were living to get more people saved. You would have sat in Jerusalem and been satisfied to be the second religion in Jerusalem. Amen? But God didn't want that. What he wants is a worldwide revival, a worldwide change. So he used that. Verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. You might want to underline that part there, through the sanctification of the Spirit. We do not preach this enough in most churches of America. We preach a lot about the Gospels, but we don't preach about the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we ask people to do better. We ask them to attend church, read their Bibles, and pray. What I say a lot of times, if I talk to somebody who's struggling with that, I always say, seek the Lord for salvation. Repent of your sins and ask Him to fill you with the Spirit of God. Because listen, when the Spirit of God resides in you, all the things that you're asking them to do, they will want to do. Amen? I don't like to read my Bible. I don't like to pray in my flesh. But my spirit man desires it. My spirit man desires it. I can be honest with you. I can tell you flat out, before I got saved and one part of the Godhead moved in here, I would have never read a Bible. I tried. My dad got me a burgundy Bible for my birthday when I was about 17 years old. And he said, man, this is the greatest gift I could ever give you. I thought, you are a liar. Come on. I'm just going to be real with you. When he handed it to me, I thought, man, this is amazing. The greatest gift I can give you. And he handed it to me, and I'm like, and inside is, come on, I hope a couple hundred dollars. Come on, right? You changed out the card for a Bible where I wouldn't throw the card away, but I can still do things all right. Oh, man, I'll just preach to y'all like y'all know who I am. No money, no nothing, just an old burgundy Bible. And man, he goes, guess what, Kevin? I'm like, all right, here we go, part two. Right up on the front, right here, look right here at the bottom right-hand corner of this. I'm like, yeah, what is it? In gold is your name. Woo! Man, that's the topper. That is the topper. Man, that's amazing stuff. Thanks, Dad. Man, it's the greatest birthday of my life. Man, y'all are so spiritual. I'll tell you right now, I got in my car, run them, that thing, I threw it over in the seat. And I think I mumbled it for about 2 miles and then started screaming it at the top of my lungs by the time, greatest gift ever! This is crazy! And I don't know how in the world that thing did it. But it made every move I made. I always remember it in water level apartments. I'll tell you why they called them water level apartments. Every time it rained, we was water level, baby. Ain't nothing like waking up and putting your feet, 2 feet, in wet carpet every time it rained. Go to the landlord and say, man, what's going on? He goes, I don't know. It's dry at my house. Never mind. Sorry. That old Bible would make it everywhere I went. And then one day, I got saved, born again, believer in Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. And this book is the greatest gift I ever received from a human being. I didn't even know that my dad had given me the greatest gift he could ever give me. I didn't know it when he gave it to me. Y'all won't believe this. You can ask my wife this. I have gotten so many of these with my name, with gold written on the bottom right-hand corner. And every one of them I get, I think it's the greatest thing ever. I walked out of bookstores like, oh, goodness gracious, I got a new one. With my name. I'm sorry. Because I know what the contents of this book are, how to live your life on the face of this planet with less stress, with less pain, with less heartache. The truth's in here. I remember when I first started reading it as a born-again believer with the Holy Spirit in here, I said things like this. I can't believe this is here. I still do it all the time. All the time. I'll be sitting at my table and I'll go, when did this get put in? When did that get installed? This book's thousands of years old and it's brand new every day, every time you pick it up, if you want it to be. Amen? So he gave it to me. So you got to understand, this Holy Spirit in you is what sanctifies. It's the thing that separates you from your old you. It sanctifies. It's the thing that makes you. It makes you a believer. It makes you in the kingdom of God. It's the one thing that's the motor to your Christianity. You can't do it without it. You know you've tried. You know you've said it. You said it to people. You got to try to do it. Man, I had a preacher. I probably told you this already. I had a preacher one time. I preached revival with him. And guess what? He said, on Wednesday night, you're definitely going to preach. And I said, why not? He goes, because I'm a pastor. And I'm like, awesome. What does that mean? He said, I've got to go back to my home church on Wednesday night and preach, because if I don't show up there, my people won't come to church. Sometimes I've got to put the boots to them to make sure they go to church. And my heart sunk. I was just a young preacher with a heart, and I was thinking, wait a minute. Your people won't want to serve God if you're not there, and you're the one that's going to make them operate? What happens if something happens to you? He proceeded to tell me, he said, I got this office that oversits the parking lot. And he goes, I look into it, and I look into the parking lot, and I watch them come in, and I use some of that information in the pulpit, because I see how they're living their lives, and I really nail them when they get in there. And I sit there going, God, this is dreadful. You know what I do on Sunday? Y'all ain't going to believe this. Please don't use this against me. I do this a lot, and I don't mean nothing by it. I go out in that parking lot and stand there, and I've done this since the first church I ever pastored was Macedonia, but I do it here, and it's bigger here. It's different here. I have to stop myself from crying because I'm blown away by the cars pulling in the parking lot and people walking across the parking lot every Sunday. I go out there and I'll hold the door and I watch people. But it blows me away that you don't have to be here. But you choose to pull in this parking lot, open the door, walk across the parking lot in the rain, in the cold, in the heat, and see Jesus and hear Jesus and listen to Jesus. And I'm just sitting there going, oh my God, I can't believe they're back. I look at you and go, man, I love these people. I can't wait till they get in here to see what God's got for them. I never look out there and go, man, I can't wait to get that one. Because in my heart, I would be like, dude, then I would have to put my faults up on the big screen next to yours, and maybe yours is not even compelling in comparison to mine. Amen? That's the problem. Let's go. I ain't got through the second verse. I just realized that. And I was going to fly through this tonight. We're going to knock that down about six verses tonight. Through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and the sprinkling. And we can't just run past that. Let's go back and get it. The God of the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience. Underline that right there. Unto obedience. Unto obedience. The Holy Spirit. We need to start praying this prayer right here. God, tell me what to do, and I'll be obedient. Tell me what to do. Show me what to do, and I'll be obedient. Amen? The Holy Spirit is a beautiful thing that causes you to fall into obedience unto God. God, that is one of the greatest things you'll ever receive is... if you'll ever tell yourself it's greater to be obedient to God than anything else. Amen? See, there's this thing called the unction of the Holy Spirit. And when God moves you to do something, get used to saying, okay, God, quickly, quick. You say, why quickly? Because if you're not careful, you'll explain your way out of it. You'll hee-haw around. You'll say, I'll do it next time. Or, Lord, you'll start making it, and next thing you know, you'll ruin it. But let me tell you something. Every time you're obedient to the Holy Spirit of God and act on it, you'll want to do it more and more and more and more. Every time. When God says, do this, and it sounds crazy because God is, it's not that he's funny. He just works different than the world does. Amen? He just does. So when he says stuff, it's usually upside down, backwards, contrary to how you would do it. And when he says it, it sounds like, oh my gosh, you're killing me, God. That's destroying me. I can't do that because if I go and do it the way you want me to do it, I'll look weak, insignificant. I'll look frail. I'm doing a lot of stuff that I don't normally do. But every single time that's happened, it's good. And you walk away from it going, God, he's good. Amen? He's good. Y'all good on that? Do y'all understand what I just said? Let's go a little further. Oh, man, that obedience and the sprinkling. Now, this switches right here. Under obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. That sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, it's that you are covered by Jesus Christ. That should give you grace and peace. That covering of Jesus, that blood on your life, that's what separate your, hey, that's what started the whole thing. You went to Calvary to get saved, and you got filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The sprinkling of the blood separated you from being lost unto found or being dead, now alive spiritually, and now the Holy Spirit resides in you. Man, that's good. Amen? And look what it says right there. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace, unmerited favor. Every time you say grace, say unmerited favor. God gives you unmerited favor. Unearned favor. Unearned blessing. Have y'all ever done this? Let me give you an example. Have you ever done this? Have you ever lived a fouled up moment, a fouled up day, a fouled up week, a fouled up month, maybe even a fouled up year, and God still use you? And God still loves you? And the Holy Spirit still moves on you? And he still welcomes you? He still dropped, man, have you ever been there? Man, there has been times in my walk with God that I thought, that's it. Have you ever said to your steward, I say this all the time, all right, God, just take me on home. I stink. Right? God, go ahead. I know what I'd do. Right? I know what I'd do. I'd hit those zap button right now. Go ahead and zap me. I probably need it. And then God turn around and use you to witness to somebody, to pray for somebody. Man, there has been days where somebody will say, God told me to come see you, and he wanted me to pray for you. And I'm sitting there going, Caleb, I'm today, can I pray for myself first? Can I crawl in the floor first and pray over myself because I am an idiot and wretched? But you know what? I found myself praying, and I've heard people come back and say, man, that was right on time. That was spot on. You said the right thing. This happened. God moved. I'm sitting there going, well, what in the world? I'm glad I'm not God, because I'd have zapped myself a long time ago. I'd zap me all the time. I'd be like, all right. And if I get to heaven, I'll be the first one. All right, Lord, I'd have done it a long time ago. I'd yank me out of the game a long time ago. I want God to be like some of my head coaches in my life. You're so dumb. Get over there and sit down. That's what I want him to do sometimes. But he does say that every once in a while. Let's go a little further. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Man, I just gave y'all more right there. With these next three or four, these next three verses are packed with information. Man, we can know that we are going to heaven because Jesus got up out of the grave. These men that were walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus, they seen him resurrected. They seen him for 40 days, over 500 people. But these apostles and disciples, they seen him, they touched him, they experienced him, and they watched him go up into glory. And they're sitting there going, listen, folks, 2022's here. Everything has happened. But listen, I seen him. He's resurrected. He's alive. That same Jesus went up into the sky and said he will return in like manner. That guy got out of the tomb. That guy lives. And listen, if you don't believe that, guess what? Every one of the apostles, every single one of them, went all the way to their death, never changing their mind. If you had 11 guys, 12 guys, 13 guys, because there were replacements, okay? You had the one who replaced Judas, and then you had Paul, right? And God said about Judas, he said, this one doesn't belong to me. Don't count him, okay? Judas is the son of perdition. He is none of mine. Don't count him. The rest of them went their whole lives being tortured, being ridiculed, going through life that was miserable to a certain degree, and every one of them, in every letter they wrote, I love being a slave to Jesus. I love being a bondservant to Christ. Do you know what a bondservant is? It's a beautiful thing in the Bible. The bondservant is this. A bondservant would come into a place where they could go free. Amen? They had worked all they could do. They could do all. They've done all their time. They've paid all their service, and they could go free. They were indentured servants, indentured slaves. That means they would say, "I don't have any land. I don't have any family. Can I work for you for a period of time until I pay off my debt?" Yes, you can. And you know what? At the end of that time, they say your debt's paid in full. You may go free. You know what they would say? I want to stay. Working for you and living with you is better than anything. Listen to this. When I came to know Jesus Christ, I thought it'd be the hardest life I've ever lived. Man, every day I get up and say, boy, it's good to be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. It's good to be just a servant in the house of God. Even though we are sons and friends of God, man, it is a beautiful thing. Those apostles and disciples would always say, he said, you are no longer servants of mine. You are a friend of mine. But when they wrote their epistles, they said, I am a bondservant. I am a slave to Christ. And a lot of them would say, I am a prisoner. Amen? That is beautiful. Amen? Man, I love being under the authority of Jesus Christ. That's what they would say. By the resurrection from the dead. Verse 4. To an inheritance. Man, y'all might want to write some of this stuff. This is shouting and running ground. I know we're not going to shout tonight and we're not going to run. But boy, it's some good places. I've been in some revivals on this right here. It's really good. To an inheritance. Boy, what do you got to do to have an inheritance? Anybody know? You got to be a child, right? That's what I thought. You just can't get in. You just don't go to somewhere to like an inheritance and say, hey, I ain't related to anybody here. Can I have some of the inheritance? They go, no, right? To an inheritance, listen to this, to the inheritance incorruptible. So you're a child. There it is, inheritance coming to you. Incorruptible, will not fade away, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Golly, bomb, man. Reserved in heaven for you. Man, I don't know about you, but that's pretty good. I get a little silly right there. I just like when there's a table reserved for me. A room reserved for me. Amen? Have you ever went to a restaurant or a wedding or anything like that and your name's on the table and it said reserved for them, you know, Pastor Kev or whoever you are. You know, you see your name right there. Man, just for a second, you kind of go, man, that's pretty cool. Amen? That's yours. Man, when you get to heaven, you're going to have an inheritance in heaven from God. And it's reserved. It's on reserve. man, that'll keep you going through some stuff, amen? That'll make you, on your dark days, raise your hand. In the hospital, raise your hand. But praise God, when ain't nobody around, say, man, God, I don't know what's going to happen, but praise God, I know where I'm headed, I know what I got, amen? I don't know about you, man, I'm simple. I'm a simple person. I was born and raised in Polk County, Tennessee. My family's so small, most of them's gone. We ain't never had a lot of nothing. But in heaven, I've got a reserved place. Man, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has reserved a place for me. Somebody said, well, what if it's this? I don't care. If it's the smallest wedge on the east side of heaven where nobody else wants to live, praise God, you will know I'm there. You will. Good. I can't wait till we get to heaven and drop all this pretense and we get to really showing out like who we really are, amen? We're pretty cool down here. I'm good. I'm kind of over that whole thing. Man, praise God, I'm not over it, amen? We're getting the presence of Jesus is going to be one thing, but praise God, you start getting up there and start looking around, amen. You'll start praising God like crazy, amen. You mean we're going to be here as 10,000 years as it just began, amen? Whew. Oh, never mind. I can't make y'all amen or shout or nothing on that. Verse 5. How about this one right here since it's so good? That's reserved in heaven for you, verse 5, who are kept. God. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Wait a minute. Who's keeping who here? We're kept? Yeah, by God. By whose power? Golly, bum, have you ever had the devil get up on you and start talking, breathing in your face, talking in your ear, telling you ain't good enough, you ain't going to do this, you ain't got that, you're going to die like your mom, you're going to die like your daddy, you're going to da-da-da-da-da, right? You ain't good enough. Who do you think you are? You know what the Lord says? You ain't keeping me. I'm keeping you by my power. Golly, bum, man. Somebody asked me, why do you think you're going to get all this? I just have faith. I have rested in Jesus Christ. I have put everything on Him. I put everything in the center of the table. I don't have a backup plan. I don't have plan B, C, or D. It's Jesus or bust. It's Jesus or nothing. Amen? But I'm kept. I don't have to be good enough. Goodness gracious. That ain't giving me a license to sin. That ain't giving me a license to act up and be a fool. You know what that does? That lets me be a child. I can show out for my daddy. Amen? I can talk about my dad. I can talk about who he is. I can talk about, hey, you need to get into this. It's a good thing. Amen? It don't give me I don't want to sin. I don't want to live a lifestyle outside of that's pleasing to God. I've done that. I've tried that. That's not what the Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God comes in you and says, tell everybody about me. Be a witness. Goodness gracious. Verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice. Man, ain't that sweet. Do you ever greatly rejoice? Some of y'all, I hope that some of you at the house or something, you greatly rejoice. Maybe some of you when you're doing laundry, or some of you when you're cleaning the house, or some of you when you're at work, some of you when you, I don't know, whatever you do. Maybe when you drive too fast down the highway in your car, listen to Christian music super loud. I hope some of you are rejoicing. I hope you put on a fit. You just don't want people to see you act like that anywhere else. So you do it with you and God just down the road. Man, praise God. Listen, every once in a while, you need to greatly rejoice because guess what? Because of the resurrection, because of the inheritance, and because you are kept by God, every once in a while, you should just have yourself a little fit. You should be able to pull over the side of the road and just have yourself a fit. The great thing about this is there's an invention on the face of this planet now that's called Bluetooth capable. Amen? Apple CarPlay. If somebody
pulls up next to you and said, what's wrong with you? I seen you in your car. You look like you was talking and having a time. Said, I got Apple CarPlay, man. I was just talking to somebody on the radio. And I said, radio weird. Radio. Praise God. Have a Holy Ghost hook up with Jesus Christ and rejoice greatly. Amen. Man, when we get to heaven, they said it's going to sound like a multitude of voices just worshiping God. Get yourself a little bit of practice here. Amen? You might not want to do it all the time, but praise God, open up your windows every once in a while, especially spring's coming. Crack those windows open. Praise God at your house. Let your neighbors talk about you about that instead of all the other stuff they're talking about you about. Verse 7, the trial of your faith being much more. Let's go back and get to the whole verse of 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice that now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Amen. Yes. Rejoice even in them. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Man, I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you, we just got to get our mindset, go, hey, I'm going through this temptation. I'm going through these trials. But praise God, I'm going into heaven. So guess what? I know this is everything that God's putting me through is to make me a better believer. That's pure gold. When you're standing there before God through all the stuff that we went through, I never gave up on you, God. I never turned to anything else. I never prayed to anything else. I didn't leave. I didn't give up. Man, anybody can quit on God. Praise God. I want to tell you right now, one of the greatest things ever is to go on the other side of the valley, go the other side of the spiritual fight, go through the temptation, don't fall subject to it, and walk through it with God. On the other side, you'll be sitting there going, man, God's big. He's a big God. Verse 8, whom having not seen you love, amen. Have you ever loved somebody more than Jesus and you ain't never seen him? In whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Do you know your faith's going to end one day? It'll end in sight. Boy, some of you won't have to believe. When we stand there and we'll see Jesus, all of our faith will go out the window. We won't have to think about it. We won't have to pray. We'll be standing on the thing that we've been standing on this whole time, but we'll be standing in its sight. Man, I can't wait to that day. I can't wait to that day. Watch this verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Amen. There's going to cover a couple of people right here that I kind of like. The prophets, when they were filled with the Spirit of God, they would get the Holy Spirit would come on them, and they would prophesy, and they prophesied about the coming of Jesus Christ, the first coming. Amen. And then they would prophesy about him dying on the cross and him being resurrected. Amen. And then some of the prophets would even prophesy the second coming of Christ. Amen. And what they said is, they were talking about something they didn't know about. You're living it. Whew. Somebody thousands of years prior to us prophesied about Jesus. We're walking in it. Amen. God chose us to walk. I hear this all the time. We're getting closer to the end. Guess what? Great. Because guess what? In the end, we win. But praise God, God chose us to be here at the end. I take that as a great challenge. Praise God. I'm going to be like, all right, if you want, hey, it's us. Amen? God could have picked all the great saints and put them in this. He put us. So all we got to do is live for him. All we got to do is turn our light on. Even if it's just a little light, turn it on and let it shine. Watch this right here. I love this. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, hallelujah, they preached about the sufferings of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, that's what's indwelling us today, which things the angels desire to look into. Hey, man, the prophets wanted to see it. But guess who's looking into this thing? Man, don't that just do something to you? That these angels up in heaven
who've seen God, experienced God, were created by God, reign in the heavens. They can do anything they want to do, I guess, or anything God wants them to do. But you know what they want to look into? Us. They want to look into the fact that Jesus Christ, God Himself, became a man. Looking off into time from eternity. What's He doing? One third of heaven was evacuated. Amen. Was ejected. So God's replaced one third of heaven, angelic beings who were meant to worship God, created to worship God. Lucifer was created to worship God. God, he had a pride about him. I'm like God. You know what God said? Lucifer, I can replace you with dirt. And I'm going to. I'm going to take dust of the earth, and I'm going to make it into a man, and I'm going to breathe into it. And then I'm going to save its soul, and I'm going to replace heaven with that dirt. And they'll stand here for an eternity grateful for what I did for them instead of somebody who was divinely made who wouldn't accept who I was in their life. Man, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be some good dirt. Hey, man, I'm going to be in heaven. I'll be like, praise God. I was a little old dirt ball on the earth, and God saved me and put me in heaven with a new glorified body. You're not going to believe this. The whole every angel in heaven, listen, this is the way it is. There's three sets of angels in heaven. There were. Now there's two, right? And then us. What a funky bunch. Amen? We're going to look like we don't belong there to a certain degree. Well, we'll look like Jesus. But for about 10,000, 20 years, them angels are going to look at us and go, I can't believe. See, we got the wrong picture with the wrong format of Satan. Satan was the beautiful cherub. When he walked, he made music. He was beautiful. He was beautiful to look at. But he was full of pride and lifted up. We'll walk heaven. They'll go, that's beautiful. They're not beautiful on the outside. They're beautiful because they let Jesus on the inside. Man, I can't wait to get to heaven. Amen. That's going to be a good place for us. Amen. Good place for us. Let's all stand. Hope it's been a help to you. We'll continue on.